Good morning. I'm Ted Finlayson-Schuler. I'm the chair of the worship team. If you haven't seen me around much, it's because I spend most of my time up in the balcony with the choir and technology. As Pastor Alicia and I were planning this worship series on practicing resurrection, and most specifically this week's theme of no limits, we thought, wow, we need to talk about Ken Craig and housing visions. Our next thought was, let's see if Hal Garman, our pastor emeritus, would come back and help frame the birthing of this mission that Ken has carried out. I asked Pastor Alicia if I could have the honor of introducing Hal and Ken this morning. I wanted to do this because I believe that stories are powerful, and I wanted to tell a little bit of the history that goes along with their story. My mom was the chair of the staff parish relations committee when Hal was assigned to University Church, so I have a little inside information in the form of her journals. Hal was interviewed and approved by staff parish on April 4th, met with church leaders on May 5th, moved into the parsonage on June 23rd, and led worship for the first time on July 7th. My mom's journal says, "What a change!" Exclamation point. University Church was not a good place in 1981. Tensions in the congregation had led to a call for a pastoral change. We were worshiping in Fellowship Hall in the winter because we could no longer afford to heat the sanctuary. There was no appreciable endowment or reserve funds, so we were operating basically on a cash basis. Some even suggested Hal was sent to University Church to close the doors. Mary Klepper, who's sitting over here, was the chair of trustees, and sometimes I found her out shoveling the walk. That's where we were in 1981. Fortunately, Hal never got the message. Hal looked around the church and saw the incredible talent that existed in the congregation. He put the talent he found to work. He understood the need to address finances and offered people an opportunity to be part of the future of University Church. The church membership had largely moved out of the neighborhood of the church, but Hal encouraged us to become part of the neighborhood again. Hal had two special talents, listening and inviting. As he visited with various members of his new congregation, he listened to their ideas and dreams. He began to see how some of these dreams might fit together, and he gave permission for ideas to be tried out. We coined the phrase bubble-up theology to describe how ideas were bubbling up out of these conversations into meaningful programs. But remember, the other talent that Hal had was inviting. While these ideas bubbled up for many people, Hal often became a co-conspirator. And because of the conversations he had initiated, Hal often had ideas about who to ask to help get a new idea off the ground. When Hal asked you if you had a minute, or even worse, could we get together for lunch, you knew something was brewing. Today we're honoring one of those people that Hal invited. Ken Craig, a successful executive, innocently showed up at University Church in the mid-1980s, and an invitation from Hal changed his life. $400 million worth of construction projects later, I think it's safe to say that not only Ken's life was changed, but many other people's as well. This is a project that many of us drove by on our way to church today.
Syracuse is now on track toward getting veterans off the streets and into the homes they deserve. Friday, Van Curen Square was officially unveiled. The new $11.5 million facility was built through a partnership between the VA, the Public Housing Authority, and Housing Visions Incorporated.
Well, it's my turn. Ted, thank you for that very kind introduction. People still are wondering when I ask them to lunch, what's up? I learned that. I practiced it here, so I learned it very well, and it stayed in my DNA. But on a more serious side, we feel thankful that you've invited us. Jen and I are both grateful to this congregation. It means a lot to us. And we're grateful to Alicia for asking us to come, and especially to celebrate Ken Craig's retirement. But I don't think he should retire. I think this is in his DNA, just like it's stuck in mine. And you can call that whatever you want to call it in spiritual terms, but that's what's going on. Alicia asked me to just tell a little bit about how this all got started. And Ted has kind of set the framework for this. Ken told me that he looked in the Yellow Pages when he moved from Rochester to find a church. And he picked this one out of the Yellow Pages almost at random, I gather. And that was a very wonderful thing. Before he came along and did that, something you need to remember, that there was the DNA or the soul or the spirit of this church was had something in it, ingrained in it, that was like the mustard seed. And it sold an idea, and it would grow and grow and grow. And Norman Vincent Peale was pastor here from 1927 to 1932. And if you read his books back there in the room, you'll find that this is where the seeds of positive thinking were sown. And if you fast forward a few more decades, you will find it alive again in Ken Taylor, Ellen's father, Stephen's grandfather. And Ken was just absolutely wonderful because he picked this up, Ted has described, and remembering that one of his grandchildren had said, "I can do it." And he started saying, "We can do it." I see heads nodding, and it started to take hold. It was contagious in the congregation. "We can do it." And it wasn't just set the finances so we could do things and survive and make it and thrive, but it was all the many, many projects that just kind of bubbled up. And the United Methodist Reporter down in Dallas heard about it, and they came up to see what the heck was going on here. And lo and behold, they sat down with 20 of you in the chapel room on Saturday afternoon, and they stayed over Sunday to see if it was all true. And they went back to Dallas, and they wrote this article in the National United Methodist Reporter, "Bubble Up Theology in Syracuse." And that's where the bubble up came from. That was in the late 80s. And that kind of, I took a lot of ribbing for that at the conference and places. But it worked. And it was what University Church really was. It was the Spirit of God bubbling up. It was because we had the faith like the mustard seed. And because you were willing to work hard and to be persistent and have faith in the idea and faith in ourselves, we believed in ourselves that we could do it with God's help. And I used to say that the Holy Spirit was, I called it messing around with us on Sunday mornings. It was so wonderful. Anyhow, Ken came up to me. We were standing right over there by that window after church one Sunday. And he said, "I want to do something about the housing in this neighborhood." And I said, "Well, let's see if we can get Wynn Gaskin to have lunch with us." And we met over to Genesee Inn a few days later, and I asked them if they would put together a task force, go out and get people in the neighborhood and put together a housing task force and find out what the real situation was and what the real needs were and what the real possibilities were. Well, they didn't say much to me for several months, but I knew they were working because I kept hearing about it. They came back finally with the task force and said, "Okay, we've got two major insights from this research. One, there's a tremendous need for large apartments for large, low-income families that are affordable and clean and decent and safe. And two, we checked with the people downtown who are connected with the feds. There are no more housing programs. They've all dried up. This is toward the end of the 80s. And so I said, "Well, let's go up and see Chancellor Akers up at SU." We went up. He was interested in hearing what they had to say. And he said, "You know, we're building dormitories and we're putting students in out of the community housing off campus, onto campus." And he said, "At 5 students per house, if we take 100 students off of East Genesee Street, that's 20 vacant buildings down there." So he knew what we were talking about and worried about and wanting to work with. He said, I don't know what to do, but he says, I'll get a couple of faculty from the Maxwell School over if you come back next week. So we went back the next week, and they listened intently to Ken and Wynn. And then they said, well, come back. We'll do a little research. We go back a week later, all of this in the chancellor's office with him there. And they said, well, the good news is there's one housing program left, and that's low-income housing tax credits. Well, knowing Ken, as I know him now, that was all he had to hear. And he, on the way down, he asked if he could have office space in the church, and then he proceeded to quit his job with Conjol and Company, and he spent 2 years in the back room here. He had to move his computer from room to room because we didn't have room always. And he designed and developed a way to implement and finance this thing with private investment, and so that there could be real affordable rents and quality buildings and quality housing, and the people could have the possibility of hope for the first time in their lives. There was a woman who came by the breakfast this morning who had to move out of her house with her family because the landlord had failed to make the mortgage payment and they foreclosed and moved everybody out. She was living in a tent. That's the best this community could do, a tent. Fortunately, it's headed into the summer and it'll be a little warm. But this is a need, serious need, and Ken has made a tremendous contribution to it. Housing Visions, he'll tell us a little more, I hope. Housing Visions, he gave me a sheet of paper last night, has done 50 projects in 16 cities in upstate New York and Pennsylvania. They have, as Ted, I think, read the figure, a capital investment of $414 million. The headquarters is right over here on East Fayette Street. And let's see, they had, I'll see if I can find it on the sheet. They have 387 buildings, separate buildings. They have 1,628 units. And if you multiply that by the average size of the families, it's between 4,000 and 5,000 people who have decent, affordable housing. Not only that, they're using the profits from the construction company to hire people to enable people to get out of poverty. And he told me last year when we saw him in Albany that he had actually gotten 200 people who'd held jobs for over a year. And I assume that's a higher figure now. And it just keeps going and going and going. And he has a crew of almost 100 people working over there that he leaves. They're talented. They've been at it for 10 years. They know how to run the business, and they're going to do it and do it very, very well. And their next project is going to be called the Winston Gaskin Homes. It's going to be a redo of all the houses on East Genesee Street that they did 25 years ago. And this will be a project in honor of Win Gaskin. He was the second president of the board. I was the first, I believe. And last summer we met with Greg Street and Ken. Greg was the first investor, and he's very proud of it. And I wish he could have been here this morning, because those of you who don't know him, he's a great guy and very committed to what Ken is doing. And we are just so proud. And so it's just such an honor to be here with you and to set this up so you can tell your story here. And we just want to celebrate your retirement. And we know you'll keep on going, that you're not going to stop.
Well, I hope you get the picture from what both Ted and from what Hal said, that it wasn't just me. I was only a small part of this. If I had not picked this particular church out of the Yellow Pages, Housing Visions would never have started. Okay? And if Hal had not been the pastor at that time, Housing Visions would never have started. So thank you, Hal. I mean, you took a lot of the wind out of my sails by saying what we've already accomplished. But we wouldn't have not have accomplished any of this if we hadn't started here at University Methodist Church. And if it hadn't been Hal with his bubble-up theology that got Wynn and me together to start this effort. And it wasn't just Hal's getting us together, but it's also his leadership, his advice, his knowledge of the people in the area. Because I was new to Syracuse, I did not know a lot of hardly any of the people in the Syracuse area. He knew everyone, and we met with the people we needed to meet, and several people from the congregation actually became the first investors, as Hal's already mentioned. The initial board of directors that we recruited, which included a total of 30 people, five of those people were members of this church. So the church was very, very heavily involved right from the very beginning. And it would never have started if I hadn't joined this particular church and you hadn't been the pastor here, Hal. And frankly, I think my faith has grown a lot through being a member of this church. But if it hadn't been for my faith at the start, I could never have taken the risk of quitting my job to start something like this without any idea as to whether we were going to have enough money to pay me. And we didn't have enough money to pay me for some time. And it's also because of my belief in a very loving God. I do really firmly believe that God wants to give direction, wants to give guidance to every one of us. It's just that we often don't listen to him. So, I mean, he's there to give us any guidance. And if any new ideas are bubbling up, God will help us. You know, God helps us do all of these things. It's really the glory belongs with him. One thing I would like to pass on is to, you know, Hal's already mentioned how we've actually recruited already $414 million of investment that's been committed to what Housing Visions is doing. Not all those buildings are built yet. Some of those buildings are underway now, and some of those buildings will be underway over the next year, including the Winston-Gaskin project. That'll start probably late this year, early next year. But we already have the funding committed for it, okay? For a total of 387 buildings, a total of over 1,600 residential units in 16 different either cities or villages across New York State and Pennsylvania. One thing I'd like to pass on that we have learned at Housing Visions that I think would be useful for any new things that bubble up out of this church, two things I'll pass on. One is the company values that we've instilled early on in the company and have guided us ever since. And we've got some of the leadership from Housing Visions here today, and I know they'll continue with these values. It's quality, responsibility, integrity, and compassion. And I think those values, that's what guides Housing Visions, and it's very important, you know, to us, and I would hope to any future projects. The other thing I'd like to pass on is the fact that at the outset, we recruited a very diverse board of directors. We stipulated in the bylaws the majority of the board had to be people living in the neighborhoods that we were going to affect. We also stipulated in the bylaws, and this is still in the bylaws today, that some of the seats on the board were reserved for people who are residing in the buildings that we were constructing. But we also recognized the need to bring in professional people, bring in people with knowledge, bring in people with experience at different income levels to help us. So it was a very diverse board at the outset, and it's a very diverse staff that we've built up. It's diverse racially, it's diverse in economic, in income levels, it's diverse in religious faiths, and it's diverse in politics. I can tell you that there are both Democrats and both Republicans on the board of directors, and there are both Democrats and Republicans on our staff, and they work together with respect. Unlike what you often see in Washington and elsewhere, I think it's very important to work together, no matter what your differences are in beliefs, to work together with respect and find out the solutions, develop the solutions to whatever problems you're encountering. But again, I want to thank you, Hal, and thank this church for being such a strong part of helping Housing Visions get started and continuing today. So thank you. Thank you.
I'm a little starstruck up here. I don't know if anyone else can see that in me. But I am just so honored that both of you are here. And Ken, thank you so much for sharing your dream with us today. I mean, we have known about it, but maybe not all of us have known about this. And Hal, thank you for traveling so far to be a part of this and for honoring Ken and his retirement. And I know that it's not the end for either of you. I know that. I totally believe that there's something else that's going to bubble up in you, Ken. I don't know if that's going to be. I've heard some things at your retirement dinner that might come up. But so we brought this today, and we wanted to talk to all of you about this today and let you know about this really beautiful thing that came out of this congregation, because this is something that we've done before. And we can do it again. So please know that if anything is bubbling up in you that can help or work with God's people, people inside this church or people outside this church, come to me or our lay leader, Barb Nunn, and tell us about what God is nudging us to do next. Because when God is with us, the sky is the limit, and we can dream big. So know that this is just the beginning for our congregation. And even though we're celebrating 150 years, I plan on it being here another 150, being an integral part of this community. And I want to have Ken have the last word, and it's on a video, so you don't have to say anything else.
Don't be afraid to follow your heart.